Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back. Today's Daf is Menachos Samach Aleph. We begin at the Mishnah, which is partway down the Amri, around 15 lines from the top. Today's topic is Tenufos. So yesterday we just spoke about Hagosha, which entails taking the Mincha within the Kli and tapping it to the corner of the Mizbeach. So it's the Dorim Ma'arav corner of the Mizbeach. So that's a correction from yesterday. It's not Dorim Mizrach, it's Dorim Ma'arav, the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, which is sort of facing the Hechel. That was Hagosha. Today we're going to discuss Tenufa, which is like what you do with the lulav. You know, you wave it back and forth, up and down, to denote that Hashem's the sovereign power, the all-encompassing power, controlling all aspects of creation, the winds, the rains, everything from Hashem, and this is meant to protect us and evoke blessing, bracha, throughout. So, in the following Mishnah, we're going to discuss which menachos, which items of karbonos require tenufa. Elu tu'unos tenufa, ve'ein tu'unos hagosha. The following list of items require tenufa without hagosha. Lukshem and shomotzer, v'ashamay. So the Metzor brings an asham, an animal carbon, with a lukshem and a certain amount of oil, comes along, and as we're going to see in the Gemara, they do the tenufa as one package. Rashi brings the pasuk, v'heinif oisam, you meant to package them together in one tenufa. Next on the list is bikurim, first fruit, which according to some shittos require a tenufa. V'abikurim k'divrei according to the shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. V'imuru shalma yachid, the fats, the portions which are meant for burning on the mizbeach of a private korban shlamim, that undergoes tenufa as well. V'chazav v'tzarek shalahem, the chest area, the shoik, these are parts of the korban shlamim again, which require a tenufa. Now the Mishnah points out that tenufa is a requirement, whether it's echad anashim, whether it's a korban brought by a man, echad anashim, or a woman. Yisrael, v'lei ba'achirim, only with respect to Yisrael and not others. And the Gemara will explain for us what this means. It means like this, that the korban itself requires tenufa, whether it's offered by a man, a woman, even a guy. But in terms of the one who actually does, the one that's physically involved in the tenufa, typically it's the kohen and the owner, that is specific to a male Yisrael. Otherwise, a korban nashim, a korban of a guy, sure, the kohen will perform the tenufa on the korban itself, because the korban, you know, the item, the chefze, like they say, the requires tenufa, but without the involvement of the isha or the guy. We'll see that in the Gemara. Next on the list of items that need tenufa without hagosha, shtei alechem, that's on shvois, ushnei kisei atzeret, two sheep that come along with them, keitzed roise. So how does one go about doing a joint tenufa with the sheep and the breads? The answer is noisin shtei alechem al gabei shnei kvasim. He places the two breads on the sheep, uben actually adav lamata, and places his hands beneath this package, and goes back and forth, up and down. A pretty impressive task. Moiluchu mevi malu moirut, back and forth, up and down. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, asher hunaf v'asher huram. So we learned that in the pesukim describing tenufa, we have hunaf and huram, and then later on, actually in the previous pesukim, we have ve'nafta oisam tenufa. So actually, it's a Rashi explains this. We have a total of four expressions relating to tenufa. We have hunaf, we have huram, ve'nafta, and tenufa, which tells us they meant to go back and forth, up and down. Okay, now where was the tenufa performed? What's the location? Tenufa yisab ha-mizrach. You can do it even on the eastern portion of the Azar, not only in the western portion, which is near the Heichal, because anything within the Azar is called lefnei Hashem, as long as it's in the confines of the Azar, not outside the Azar. V'hagosha b'marav, but hagosha, as we explained, needs to be done on the western side of the Azara, on that corner of the Mizbeach. Now, in cases where you do tenufa and hagasha, like menchas oimer, menchas soita, which we discussed yesterday. Which one goes first? Tenufa is kaidnua is lahagasha. So first comes the tenufa and then the hagasha. Now menchas oimer, u'menchas kenoi. So menchas oimer and the menchas of the soita require both procedures. Tenufa is hagasha u'tenufa. Whereas lechem aponim and the u'menchas nesachem need none. Ein tenufa is lahagasha v'leitzenufa. Concludes the mission. Rav Shimon Omer, let me give you a list of three items, three types of karbanis, shlosha minin, three types of karbanis, which in totality relate to three procedures, but really only two out of three are applicable to each one of these individual items. Shlosha minin, there are three types of karbanis, hatu'unin shalish mitzvahs, which are connected to three mitzvahs, which require three procedures. Shtai, but only two of the three apply to each individual of the each one of these individual three karbanis. The third one is not applicable. So again, we have three types of karbanis. Each one of these undergo two elements of the three that we're going to talk about. But there is variety, meaning it's not all consistently the same two of three. Each one of these items will have two of the three. That's the formula. So firstly, what are the three karbanis? Zivchei shalmi yachad, they privately offered shlamim. Zivchei shalmi tzivay, publicly offered shlamim. That's the two sheep on Shavuot with the bread. Thirdly, v'asham matzer, asham v'maser. Now the three procedures that we're going to talk about is A, the act of tenufa. B, another type of tenufa. One is during while it's alive, one is after Shechita. And the third point is smicha, when the owner leans on the animal and does the vidui. So every one of these karbanis will undergo at least two, right? Will undergo two of these three procedures, but in different formations. For instance, if chesham yachad, the private shlamim, that needs smicha, tunin smicha chayim. You do smicha while it's alive. And tenufa shchutin, and tenufa after the shchit. That's it. Ve'ema and tenufa chayim. There's no tenufa during its lifetime. So it's two out of three. Then you have zivcha shamet tzibur, a publicly offered shlamim. It also has two out of three, but different ones. Tunim tenufa chayim shchutin. There, it has tenufa chay and shachet. But there's no smicha, ve'ema and smicha. Right? There's never a smicha on a typical korban tzibur. And thirdly, v'asham etzer. That needs ton smicha, needs a smicha while it's alive, or tenufa, and also tenufa chai while it's alive, but there is no tenufa of anybody tenufa shach. Now, how do we perform the tenufa regarding the asham, which has the asham etzer, which has an asham and a luk shemen? Is it together? It's separate? Tan rabban. If you can voice the asham, so he offers the animals an asham, vest luk shemen together with the oil, vehenef oisam. He performs the tenufa together as one tenufa. We learn Malamash Tunin Tunufa Kechad, that the Tunufa is performed together as one, it's one package. Umanayim Shim Hainif Zebatmay. But Zebatmay Yasa. What if he does it separately? Is he yeah, it works as well. Vikrabai Say La Asham Vahinif. So although it says Vikrabai Say La Asham Vestuga Shaman Vahinif Aysam, but since the word Vahinif is in singular term, it's Lashon Yachid. We learn from here, and it relates back to the item immediately before it, which is the Lug HaShemen Vehenev, that if one performs the Tenufa separately on the Lug HaShemen and separately on the Yosham, he has fulfilled the mitzvah. So, fine, you did it. Perhaps you have to redo it together. Yochol Yonav V'yachsev Yonav. Perhaps even if you did it separately, it doesn't ruin it, but perhaps you have to redo it together to fulfill the other obligation as well. Tamalayma tenufa below tenufa. His pasuk says, "Ve'ene ve'isam tenufa." Tenufa means one time. It's a one-time deal. You do it once, and that's it. So either you do it together properly, or even separately, but done is done. Now the pasuk says that the tenufa is done lefnei Hashem, before Hashem. We learn even by mizrach, even if he chooses to do the tenufa on the mizrach, which is further removed from the heichal. It's okay as long as it's in the Azara. Really? But elsewhere regarding Hagasha, we say that the same Lashon Lefnei Hashem means facing the Heichal, closer to the interior, the place of higher Kedusha, Yochal B'Marav. So the Braisa there on Daf Yotes discussed the exact location of the Hagasha, on which corner to the Mizbeach. Perhaps it's meant to be on the western facing wall because of Lefnei Hashem, and the Gemara there concluded, western, southern corner. But clearly, the term Lefnei Hashem is assumed as a reference to the western side, Amri. So the Bnei Yeshiva responded. It's all a matter of context. That's certainly applicable to a mincha, which we find in the Torah, is also called a chatas. The pasuk calls it kodesh kodesh mika chatas. The chatas to only yisoid, and we know that the shirayim of the chatas, the leftover blood of the chatas after the primary applications had been performed, the pasuk says that is meant to be poured. Ve'is kol adam yishpech al yisoid ha-mizbeach, meant to pour to the yisoid, which is that bottom step, that protrusion which surrounds the mizbeach at the floor. Now, which part of the yisoid? So v'keren droimus mizrachos lahir liyisoid. We know from past discussion, the yisoid would not encircle the entire mizbeach. In fact, the dora mizrach side had no yisoid because that area belonged to Shevet Yehuda, as we discussed. So regarding the mincha, which is now aligned with the chatas, right, which is compared to the chatas regarding the processing, location, it also has to run along the same track. So as Rashi points out, the agasha takes place al pnei hamizbeach, to the face of the mizbeach. The face is where you enter, where you ascend the mizbeach, where the ramp is, which is darim, which is south. That's called pnei. Now, you have a choice. You can do the agasha on that side, but facing the west, or facing the east. Marab, which is closer to the Hechel, or Mizrach, which is further from the Hechel. Let's just get a picture. We walk into the Azara from east going west, facing the Hechel up ahead, and we confront the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach's entry point, the face, was to my left, Darim. To the right is Saf, and to the left is Darim. Now, the immediate corner to my left, which is Darim Mizrach. Darim is again is the face, and Mizrach is where I'm coming from. This side had no yisoid. That wasn't really suitable for the Hagasha either. Right? So ultimately, you have to do it on the far side, Darim Marav. This way you fulfill Pnei HaMizbeach, which is Darim, also fulfill Lefnei Hashem, which is closer to the Hechel. So it's inevitable that the Hagasha takes place in that corner. Right? You need Pnei HaMizbeach, which is Darim, and you can't do it on this side, you have to do it on that side. Avalach, but over here by Tnufa, where Yisoid is not a prerequisite, so anywhere in the Azara constitutes Lefnei Hashem, as long as it's in the area. Lefnei Hashem Kuribe. The term Hashem, Lefnei Hashem, applies anywhere in the Azara, as long as it's not outside. And therefore you can do the Tnufa even in Mizrach. Mishnah adds Bikurim to the list of Tanufa, items that require Tanufa. But Mishnah points out that we're going according to a very specific opinion. But Bikurim Kedivrei, like the Shitav, Relezim and Yaakov. Where do we find him? My Relezim and Yaakov. The son of a Brice of Lukach HaKoyen, Atenem Yedecha, the Koyen receives the basket of fruit from your hands. Limit, we learn from here, Shetun and Tanufa. He learns that it's not just a matter of taking it, he does the tenufa as well, as he takes it from you. Dibur Blazman Yaakov, that's his shita. My time, the Blazman Yaakov, how does he see tenufa in the pasuk? Gomar yad yad mishlomim, he has a gzereshava, connecting the words yad yad, from here to shlomim. Ksivacha, v'loka ha-koin atem yadecha. Here we have the coin take it from your hand, the owner's hand, yadecha. Ksivacha, why the shlomim? Well, we know there is tenufa. It says, yadav tevian, his hands. He'll bring it with his hands. So, it relates to hands. Hence, we know that there is tenufa. Makan, just like by the tenufa of a bikurim kayan, the kayan does the tenufa, as it says, v'lokach ha-kayan. Right? He's the one that does it. Aflahan kayan. Likewise, by the shlamim, the kayan has to be involved. Umalahalon balim. Now, just like by the tenufa of the shlam, the owner is involved as well. It says Yodav Tviyena, the one who brings it to the owner. Afkan Bayan, likewise by the Ukurma of Tznufa, the owner is involved. So it's a joint process. It's a joint effort. Okay, Zed, how do we work this out? The owner is the one that's holding the material, whether it's the Bikurim or the Shlomim. And the Kohen places his hand beneath, and they do it together as well. Now, Taisa explains that actually, the owner will, he asks a question, what about chatzitza, right? The coin is not directly holding the basket of Bikurim. He's beneath the owner's hands, which are getting in the way. It's a chatzitza. So how does he fulfill Bikurim? Right, we learn the Bikurim of the Tnufa of Bikurim from the Tnufa of the Shlamim, where the Pasuk speaks about, you know, Tnufa. And we learn that in both cases, Tnufa is done, but it's a joint effort with the owner and the Kohen holding it simultaneously. What about Chatzitza, says Tosfos? How could the Kohen perform Tnufa in this manner when he's not really holding the material? So he says three answers Tosfos gives. First of all, Chatzitza is not a concern because the primary tenufa performer is the owner. The kohen is just sort of an add-on. Secondly, it says that perhaps there's no chatzitza because we're speaking that the owner is holding the, in the case of the bikurim, he's holding the basket, and the kohen is directly holding the basket beneath. So the owner is holding it from the side, and the kohen beneath. Third teretz, he says, is look, that's what the Torah directed to do. That's not a chatzitza. They're determined. This is the way to do it. It's a joint effort. So together as one, does not really pose a chatzit. Now the question is, why are we tying? Why are we associating the tenufa of a bikurim specifically to Rabbi Ben Yaakov? V'leim manam kedim Rabbi Yehuda, says the Gemara. We can attribute it to Rabbi Yehuda as well. The Sanya Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bikurim undergoes tenufa. The Sanya, it says v'inachtu l'Hashem alekecha. So that's a pasuk later. Right, first it says we give it to the kohen, etc. Then it says v'hinachtoi, place it lefnei Hashem Elokecha. What's v'hinachtoi, place it? Zutnufa, it's referring to the act of tnufa, the waving back and forth. Atoim is zutnufa. You're claiming that this is referring to tnufa. Who says? Perhaps it's simply saying place it near the mizbeach. That's all. K'shuaymer. But we have another pasuk which says that the kohen takes it v'nicha and he places it. So it's placed already. Hari anocha amar. Hanukkah has already been discussed. Why does he repeat? Place it. It's talking about the tenufa, the tenufa. So why do we pick Rosh Ben Yaakov as the one that promotes tenufa by Bikurim? We find the same with Rabbi Yehuda. Amarav, I'll tell you why. You're right. They're both on the same page regarding tenufa. We chose Rosh Ben Yaakov because his source, Amarav, Ahoyel, Pasach, Be'akosav, Tchil, his source is based on the earlier Pasach. That's referring to tenufa versus Rabbi Yehuda's source, which is later. That's why we sort of latched onto that as our primary reference. I'll tell you why we chose Rabbi Yaakov. Hoyel Rav Guvre, his power is great, which means to say he was a greater scholar. Rashi brings Gemara and Erevin. Mishnas Rabbi Yaakov Kavanoki, his halachas were generally very, you know, sparse, very few, but it was nucky, it was clear, it was authoritative, it was accepted. So we went with that shita as our reference point. But in reality, Rabbi agrees as well. Now the Mishnah spoke about, you know, the various items that need tenufa, and we have this statement which sounds a bit cryptic. So we're speaking about the parts of a carbon shlomim. Who's the bringer? Who's the owner? Echad anoshim, men. Echad anoshim, or women. Be Yisrael, aval ba'achirim. But only Yisrael and not by others. What does this mean? Michael Amar, what does this mean? First we're saying that everybody's involved. And then we say, no, it's only by certain. Amar, vidam, achika, Amar. The Mishnah means like this. Look. There's a difference between the carbon itself, which always requires tenufa, whether it's brought by a man, a woman, or even a guy. But in terms of the owner's involvement, as we explained before, the owner personally gets involved, that's specific to a man, Ish Yisrael. As opposed to an Isha, or Havdil Goy, they're not personally involved. The carbon is waived by the Kohen, but the owner in that case is not involved. Amar Amar, the Mishnah means like this. Echad Anoshim, Echad Anoshim, Karbanon Ton Tnufa, in terms of the carbon, it requires Tnufa regardless of the owner. But personal involvement with Tnufa Atzma, Yisrael only can be done by Yisrael, Avalei Bnei Noshim, as opposed to women. And in a minute we'll see the same thing regarding the Avdei Kehav. Tanu Rabbanan, we have a Pasuk Bnei Yisrael. The Pasuk relates Tnufa to Bnei Yisrael. We learn Bnei Yisrael Menifin. Avdei Kehav Menifin, only a Yid, not a Goy. Bnei Yisrael Menifin, only the Zacharim and Yisrael do Tnufa, but not the Noshim, Bnei Noshim Menifis. Amar B'Yaisi. Matzinu Shecholak HaKosuf. Bein Karban Yisrael, the Karban Oib Gechav, the Karban Hashem Esmicha. You find an interesting distinction. When it comes to Smicha, the Pasuk clearly stipulates it only belongs to a Karban of a Yisrael, not a woman, not an Isha. There's no Smicha in those cases. What happens by Tnufa? Do we suspend the Tnufa by a Karban Isha, a Karban of a Goy? There's no Tnufa at all? Yochal Nachlik, but perhaps we make the same distinction by Tnufa as well? Loi, no, the answer is no. When it comes to Tnufa, we still proceed with the Tnufa, although in terms of who does it, it's different than a Karban Yisrael, where the owner does it, by the Goya, by the Isha, the Kohen does it. Loi, the answer is no. Mali Yichalik B'Smicha. You understand why by Smicha we differentiate, which means to say that only a Karban of Yisrael requires Smicha at all, but not the carbon of an Isha or a Goy. Shasmicha b'balam, because smicha must be performed by its owner. And since the Isha or the Goy are not enabled for smicha, there is no smicha at all, period. As opposed to Nachlag with Tnufa, do you want to apply the same distinction by Tnufa, Shatnufa, b'kayanam? A Tnufa is done by the Kohen as well. Right? And Rashi says, you can do it with through the Kohen. The Kohen sort of will represent the owner in this case. And therefore, certainly Tnufa can be performed, even on a carbon of Isha or Goy. So why is the Pasuk stipulate Bnei Yisrael? The answer is, in terms of physical involvement, Bnei Yisrael Menifin, only the owner, who is a Yisrael, can do Tnufa himself, as opposed to the other ones. Bnei Yisrael Menifin, as opposed to the Goy. Bnei Yisrael Menifin, Bnei Yisrael Menifin, as opposed to the Isha. So these cases, the Kain will do it on their behalf. Tani, there we find another brayso regarding Tnufa, Bnei Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, Dabra Bnei Yisrael, right, do the Tnufa. Ein El Yisrael, perhaps only. An original Yisrael, what about a convert? Geirim, Bavadim Meshechrar, released a freed a slave, who also has the status of Yisrael. Menayin, what about Tnufa for their karbanos? Tamar Leima comes the extra Pasuk and says, Hamakrev. Anybody who offers even a ger, eved mishuchra. Well, says the Gemara Hamakriv, perhaps it's coming to tell us something else. Oy einoy, el is a kohen hamakriv. Perhaps the point of the pasuk is to say that only the kohen can do the tnufa in these cases, not the actual ger or the eved mishuchra. The answer is kshu aymer yadav tiviena hari balam amar. But the pasuk says yadav tiviena. We already know that the owner does it. So any owner, the first will explain, we should say any owner, on the other, any owner, whether it's a ger, eved, meshuchar, we include them as well. So you can't rule out these owners, but at the end of the day, we see that the owner is involved, and also the kohen. Hamakrib is the kohen. So how do we do this joint effort? Like we explained before, Ketzad, how do we do this joint tnufa? They do it together simultaneously. Right? The Kohen places his hands under the owner's hands and they do the tnufa, ketzad. So how exactly do we do the actual tnufa? So let's just visualize it. V'chadav shikalein. So now we're back to the shlomim. We take the emurin, place it on the palm of his hand, and the chadav shoyk, that's placed over the emurin, and they do this the tenufa. And the Gemara will continue. We'll discuss different cases of tenufa, specifically the one we do on Shavuos with the two bread and two kvasim. Perhaps we'll pick it up Bez Hashem tomorrow. So we have a Mishnah which discusses primarily the Indian of tenufa, which kabbalists require tenufa. We discuss the joint lug and asham tenufa by the Netzera. Ideally it's done together. If it's done separately, it works as well. The Kura needs tenufa according to two opinions. Typically the owner and the kohen do a joint tenufa, but that's only by Bnei Yisrael, but not by the Noshim and the Yad Kechavim, where in those cases it's performed exclusively by the kohen himself. All the best to you and Hatzlach Rav.